I'm here in one night, nor do I intend to. But the first thing has to do with nourishment. Are you eating enough? Now, you can well guess when I'm speaking about Christian growth that I'm not speaking about physically eating. But I repeat, are you eating enough? The first level of eating is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter writes in his second chapter, the first verse, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Then there's a comma. So you see his thought is continuing, he's advising some things that need to be put aside. Now, if there's going to be Christian growth, these things must be put aside. But then verse 2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." Why? "That ye may grow thereby." So these people to whom he was writing were new converts. They were new to the faith. And he likens them to like the little ones that we have in the congregation, all right? Newborn babes. And they desire milk. That's the natural thing that they would consume. And so he says to these new converts, "Desire the sincere milk of the word." Why? "That ye may grow thereby." Growth comes in the early stages by the milk of the word. verse 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So if indeed what their experience was to this point was the graciousness of the Lord, he says, now continue by drinking the milk of the word. That's level 1. Level 2 is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Level 1, the milk. Level 2 in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal." And so here we have, he contrasts spiritual and carnal. Remember, we're talking about Christian growth. "Even as unto babes in Christ." He wanted to speak to them as spiritual, but he couldn't because they were carnal. Because they were even as. Now, he didn't call them babes, but he said, "even as babes in Christ." He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." Why did he feed the milk and not meat? And he says there, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto," prior to the time he's writing, "ye were not able to bear it." Not only could they not previously take meat and could only digest milk, he says, not only neither were ye able to bear, neither yet now are ye able. So whatever point of advancement they made, I didn't call it growth.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't think it could be called growth, but they obviously were not beginning. In the beginning, he fed them with milk. And now he had reached a point where they should have been getting meat, something more substantial. Now, Noah's very handy. Thank you for him. Noah had milk, and he's growing on it. Now he's beyond milk. I'm not sure what's eating now. Baby food in the jar?
Chicken nuggets.
What?
Chicken nuggets, blueberries, everything.
Okay. He's eating that. Wow. He went from here to here quick. And so the point is, you see, he is able to digest more now than he did a year ago. And that's what Paul is telling these Corinthians. They were digesting milk. They should be able to be digesting more substantial food. He calls it meat. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. The reason they couldn't take meat is because they were carnal, not spiritual. They had not grown as Christians. I'm telling you, in every congregation of a Bible-believing church, within the walls of every congregation, regardless of what town or city it exists in, there are those who should be eating meat, but they cannot handle it. The reason they cannot handle it is because they're carnal. They have not progressed to being spiritual. On Sunday, I'm filling in the teen Sunday school class. Neil and Ashley, of course, are taking the girls. You going in the morning to Bell Run? Or okay, in the morning, they're going to Neil's parents' church. They'll run in the morning, and then, of course, in the evening, they'll be at Grace Bible. So I'm filling in the Sunday school class. And I've asked Peter to go along down. He's going to have a few minutes if he wants to share testimony. Then I have him teaching 5 to 10 minutes. I'll teach 5 to 10. We'll do a sword drill or two. And we'll also do some quizzes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paul says, I wanted to feed you with meat, but you weren't able to. I don't remember if it was 3 years or 5 years ago. But I remember the time I filled in the teen class. And I've got, a dozen quiz books. So I pulled out the one that I'm most comfortable with and opened up some pages. I was absolutely shocked at what our teenagers did not know. I say that not to embarrass anybody, but to challenge those who are yet teens in that class. You're there to learn.
Right.
Pay attention. Now, I know it was long enough ago that some of them, of the ones who were there, have graduated out. And I don't mean they didn't know anything, but I do mean they knew very little. In order to do quizzes, I have got to break it down to the most basic of milk. You've got to pay attention. You've got to learn. I had a young man who attended our Sunday school classes in Grace Bible, grew up in them. And he was a sharp young man. I mean, he has a sharp mind. But when he was in the military and I don't know if this individual just worked with him or if they were in the same bunks, okay, same place of lodging. I don't remember what the connection was, but I know the fellow was challenging the young man of whom I'm speaking, challenging him. And listen to me, the young man that I know who grew up in the Sunday school classes from the nursery on up through, he could not hold his own with those challenges. He did not know the answers, and listen to me, they were not unique questions. When he relayed the questions to me, I was able to give him some direction. I wanted to say, weren't you listening in Sunday school? I happened to know the guy that preached while he was there. Were you not listening when that guy was preaching? Paul said, I could not feed you meat. I had to feed you milk because you are not spiritual, you're carnal. It does not matter how long you've come to this church. It does not matter how active you are in this church.
Yes, amen.
If you're carnal, you're a baby bottle sucking Christian.
Amen for that.
I'm not trying to be harsh or unkind, but I am trying to get some attention. We have young people that grew up in this church and now they're out in the world. Why? They did not pay attention to what they were hearing. Just like some today don't pay attention to what they're hearing.
Come on.
We'll send Dale out to visit you.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Because that's where you could end up. The way of the world leads only to problems. Have you heard Stephen's testimony? He couldn't get away from here too soon enough. And then he found out what it's really like out there. See, you only think you know what it's like out there. Tell you what, you get him alone sometime. Get him alone sometime and ask him what it's like out there. Ask him what it is that he had to face. I don't know about him, but that won't be me. Boy, have you bought the devil's lie. I like what Pastor said. I put it in the front of my Bible, and that is the gospel of doubt. The devil's going to come along to some of you young people and say, oh, is it really as bad as what the preacher said? Is it really as bad as, you know, maybe something was unique about Stephen that he had the experience he did.
Exactly what I used to think.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Some of you have such an inflated ego, you think you're something else. Well, let me tell you, you ain't near what you think you are. And I like you. Yeah, I like you. But can you imagine what it's going to be like? Because the devil, he doesn't like you. There are enough of you that know somebody that is living a life of hell because they didn't pay attention. Now, it wasn't me saying it. I would imagine Brother McVeigh said some of these things. I'd imagine Brother Taylor said some of these things. who was that fellow who used to drive a nice big motor home parked outside?
Shankles,
right. Brother Shankles said some of those things. There's different preachers that have been here that have said these things. You don't have to listen to me. I mean, after all, what am I? Just some old man. And yet anybody knows that once you get to a certain age, you don't know anything anymore. You know, when you start out, you think you know everything. You get to a point where you don't know anything. And in between are the people who climb up Fool's Mountain. Hey, do you remember hearing that? About people that climb up Fool's Mountain? Some of you have not learned enough so that when you get to the top, you know how to come back down. In case you don't understand what I'm saying, Pastor has talked repeatedly about people who climb Fool's Mountain, and when they get to the top, because of things that they had heard and learned, they can begin to find a way back down.
Amen.
But if you haven't heard and learned, you ain't coming down. You're going to live up there. You think it's a great place. All right, now you, I've got another one I want you to get alone with. And I'm serious. I want you to go back here and you get Ronnie.
Yes.
You ask Ronnie, can we go into Sunday school? And tell me. And have some questions, right?
Yeah.
And he'll be glad to answer you. Hey, you girls. You go to Amy. Yeah, see, Amy grew up in a Christian home. Amy's father was a preacher, an evangelist. She went to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And church. He took you, didn't he? Yeah, I knew he would. Why don't you go talk to her? You say, well, I'm not a bad girl. I didn't say you were. But if you're not sold on Jesus, you're headed for trouble.
Exactly right.
You're headed for trouble. But by the grace of God, Chelsea sits where she does today. But by the grace of God, Chelsea's married to a good man.
Amen on that.
Listen to me, girls. I don't know if she knew when she married him, there was a high school sweetheart and all of that kind of thing. Okay, yeah, all right. So she didn't know anything, you know, she wasn't looking for character. I don't know, well, maybe she was. The kind of character she was looking for, she thought she found. But God changed things. I don't hope any of you girls end up with the kind of jerk that's going to ruin your life.
They're out there.
Yeah, they sure are. I really don't want to. And I realize I'm old enough. It may not be me, but let's just pretend I'm going to live strong, good for 20 more years. I really don't want to stand up here and call your name as a prayer request. I really don't. Because when we do call names in prayer requests, I remember, I've been telling you, I'm not bragging on it, it just amazes me, 10 years has gone by already. But I remember some of the people that we're praying for, they're on Mrs. Haynes' prayer list. Eric, prays for him. Praise for him faithfully.
Glory to God for that.
Praise for him faithfully. She has a boy named Daryl, doesn't remember his last name. She knew him from Sunday school in 1969. She still prays for him. But you know what? That's not the kind of praying for you we want to do. We want to pray for you in the direction and guidance of the Lord and the wisdom of God for you and the health and the strength you need for you and your husband. And, you know, you hear those kind of requests. Listen, this is serious. This is real. This is your life. This is your life. Some people experience stunted growth because they won't go further in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 5. Some people experience stunted growth. That means they started growing, but then their growth got stunted. And it's because they won't. It isn't that they can't. They won't go further. Some people grow and are happy for where they're at, and they think everything's pretty decent, so they just stop growing. They stop trying to grow. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now these people to whom he's talking, he had a lot of things to tell them, but they were dull of hearing. They didn't want to hear. Another term, and it's not in the text here, but they were dim-witted. And there are people who sit in churches just like ours where they're dim-witted. They're dull of hearing. They just can't grasp it. But they think they're so with it. Yeah. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Got to go back to the beginning. These people should have been able to teach others, but no, they couldn't teach others because they had to go back to the beginning and get it all over again. And they are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So here again, you see the two different levels and how he puts the two of them together. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. So you see, in addition to nourishment, the other thing that people need is exercise to grow spiritually. Every believer must progress. But now listen, let me tell you something. What I'm talking about is not just learning it with your mind. There are a number of you sitting here who are able, because you've comprehended it with your brain, you are able in a given subject to sort of carry your own. And you feel good, and you might even look good, okay? But all you have is mental. And when it comes to this matter of following God and of being used by God, he's not interested in your brilliant mind. He's more interested in your yielded heart. Now, your mind will need to comprehend things. We don't live in a vacuum without our mind. But I have seen so many Christians who think that because they can explain things, that they're spiritual. A brilliant mind on what the Bible teaches is not the same as spiritual life. Spirituality is a heart matter. I believe there's people in this church who have them too confused. And they feel pretty good because of what they know. It isn't what you know, it's what you are. It's what you are that matters. And when your living doesn't match up with your knowledge, guess which one's wrong? Every believer must progress. When a person first gets saved, usually the first service they start attending is Sunday morning. There's always exceptions, all right? So if you were an exception and you know somebody that is, I got it. But generally, when you first get saved, you start attending Sunday morning. Not always regularly, but certainly if you didn't go to church at all and you go every other week, that's pretty good. But then, you know, the Spirit of God works and you are sincere and therefore you start going every Sunday morning. And then it's not uncommon that the next service that's added is Sunday school. It's a no-brainer. I'm already up. I'm already going to the building. Why not just go an hour or so earlier? And I can add a whole other service. I can double my learning. And then after that, very frequently, the evening service, in our case, the 1 o'clock is what's added next. Again, same kind of reasoning. I'm already there. I may as well just, you know, stay for the 1 o'clock. And then prayer meeting, Bible study. We have a Thursday night Bible study. Not all churches do. And therefore, it's often the Wednesday night prayer meeting that folks would then go to next. But whatever the order, there's progression. And somewhere along this line of progression, the individual begins to add personal Bible reading, and then that grows into Bible study. And that's when Christians can become waylaid, because they get self-satisfied. I mean, I'm going to church all the time. I'm reading my Bible. I'm even going through this basic Bible study. I look up words. I look up more verses. I'm doing pretty good. No. You see, that's when growth can become stunted. And at the same time, a believer is progressing in public and personal Bible study, he should seek God's guidance, because in addition to nourishment, what's needed is exercise. Okay? Everybody knows that for a healthy body, you need a balanced diet. Okay? Eat your fruits and vegetables. And if you don't have fruits and vegetables, just get the New Balance, okay? And you can get them in a bottle and you have just all that you need. No, not really. But you need good food to be nourished. But you need exercise too. You see, couch potatoes, potatoes are a good thing to eat, but not when it's accompanied by the couch. A little extra there. And so we need exercise. Exercise is so very important. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter, if you'd like to find it, Matthew chapter 25. Because what exercise is likened to is serving God. We need to be serving God. And the local church is usually the primary place where people learn service. Now, there's other places, but that's, for most folks, the primary place where we learn to serve. I love what the Fords are doing with the young people, the youth group, and teaching them service, not only with the teen service, but what they are teaching them to do in building up to it, okay? And carrying out the things that are taught in the Sunday school class. It's so good, but service is exercise. Now, Matthew 5:23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And this was the guy who had 2 talents, and he, you know, they increased. One guy was given 5, and he increased, and one guy was just given 1, and he blew it, and he buried it, and he didn't get anything out of it. And what he had, he got taken away from him. But the point here is that it's a Bible principle. Use faithfully the little bit you have, and then you can progress to more. But if we don't use faithfully the little bit that we have, we'll not progress. Too many Christians dry up spiritually because they don't progress in service, in exercise. And too many are inactive, not because they ran dry, but they ran dry because they were inactive. So serve the Lord. Find a place where you can serve Him. Do it willingly. Father in heaven, I thank you for these thoughts. I pray that they would be certainly of help and even of challenge in the process. I pray in Jesus' name.